Blog Talk Radio.
We're going live.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen. I'm joined by Jonathan, getting in there on time, Mason, and Anthony, fix my sound, Scott. We're glad to have everybody here this morning doing our thing.
What we can deal with, Don.
I understand, man. You know what? I get it. You know, it's the pandemic and we're not in the fancy studio that we'll be in next year, hint, hint. But we're moving that direction, and things are happening for the Independent Business News Network, and we're just going to have to form a company and go after, you know, these dollars out here for getting information out to the general public.
Right.
And last night I had an interview on another Independent Business News Network program called The Last Question with Mr. James Holm, who I went to Central High School with. And it was pretty exciting because he set up some stuff where he's built a studio in Medina, and I want to build a studio somewhere in between Minneapolis and St. Paul that we can get to, not maybe at 9:30 in the morning, but the goal with the Independent Business News Network and all these various shows that you guys have is to have a 24-hour, some pre-recorded, like from 10 p.m. till 5 in the morning, a live news streaming network on Restream. I purchased the channel, and all we have to do is start doing the shows, recording them, and I'm just telling this so our public can hear, where we will have a regular streaming news channel 24/7, hopefully, here, if we get the content. And all of us have enough content. Jonathan can do 20 shows. Anthony can do about 20. I can do about one. So I think we have enough to go ahead and do that. Again, this morning, you know, I want to talk about, I've been reading this book here, The Minneapolis Story, Through My Eyes with Ron Edwards, the late Mr. Ron Edwards, and there's some things going on. But before we get into what's happening in the year 2020 in crime, we want to give it up for the Time Magazine Man of the Year. Let me get rid of this, you know, mayhem, making 2020 his best year ever. You know, that's from the insurance company. And we just want to let you know that it is crazy out there, and there's a lot of things going on, and we need to pay attention. But now getting back into the show, we're actually broadcasting live right now on Facebook, Twitter via Periscope, and on YouTube. And Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to call in and ask us a question or scold us, that call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904, and you need to speak up. So, Anthony, Jonathan, how was your week? How's this week, the week before Thanksgiving?
Well, if I could jump in right away, I'm kicked off of Facebook right now, obviously, for speaking the truth, just for a couple more days. But we have so many crazy things that are coming. You know, Joe Biden said that he wasn't going to mandate the COVID vaccine, which is a relief for some, because I know a lot of people are saying, you know what, I'm not comfortable with getting a vaccine right now. We're hearing reports in Alaska and other places that people are, you know, having really bad chemical reactions to it. Who knows what it's going to look like for the election? You know, we're going to have to talk about it today. You know, Donald Trump right now is saying possibly through Michael Flynn and others, and if you don't know who Michael Flynn is, he was in Donald Trump's administration, and he was a general, and he was talking about how through law you can use the military to, in the swing state, do a rerun of the election. It would be martial law, and this could potentially happen on January 6th. So a lot of people are saying, hold on, why hasn't the election been called yet? We know why, because there's a potential rerun of the elections January 6th. And, I was telling everybody, because, I was telling everybody December 14th, you guys, once the electors, and then one of my buddies said, well, there's one more step. And we were talking about it. And January 6th is that day when the electors, it's official, it's made official.
Yeah.
And that's when they can bring claims up of malpractice or voter fraud or whatever.
Well, there is going to be some shenanigans on January 6th. I mean, we can see it coming. January 6th, they're going to do the thing over again where the Senate, they're going to be in the House, the Senate, and they're each going to reread this thing that they've already done. And you're going to have people like Tom Emmer, right from here in Minnesota. You're going to have several people that are going to jump up. And they're going to try to disrupt. They're going to disrupt the whole thing. It's going to happen. Oh, I'm going to too. It's going to be much watched TV, most watched TV, because as you're saying, Jonathan, on the 6th, that's going to be the D-Day. Now, I don't believe that they can actually turn back the election and make people vote over again, but
you never know.
I wouldn't put any what they're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never know. And like Don just said, you have to expect sometimes for the unexpected. I know that regardless who's president, yesterday or the day before, we were hacked. Really bad. One of the biggest hacks in American history. Really, a lot of people aren't talking about it right now. But we were hacked on the levels of like a Pearl Harbor type attack yesterday.
Wow.
So we're dealing with all of our nuclear information out given to the Russians. Vladimir Putin, he denies it. But I believe that if no one talks about this hack that happened with the Pentagon and all of our, basically, if a person was looking for your Social Security number, everything to be able to do identity theft, they've done it, okay? And so we should be in war right now, but this is a cyber war now.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we're in the middle of an election. Plus, Donald Trump has not said nothing about Russia right now.
He's been hiding. He's been hiding. Donald Trump, he's derelict in his duty right now. He's in hiding. He had the big show where we had the Surgeon General and Pence. They got on their TV and took their shots. So where is 45? Why doesn't he take it? Why doesn't he say anything about this Russian hack? This Russian hack, as you say, Jonathan, this Russian hack, this is some serious stuff here. Our whole security is at risk with this going on. And I haven't heard a peep out of it.
No, neither have I. It's been really quiet on the forefront of this, what's going on with Trump and a lot of other ones. But also, before we get into the Twin Cities thing, this stimulus check, let's not even call it a stimulus check. Let's just call it $600 to blow at the casino, because this is disgusting. It's shameful. You have all these elected officials who have not seen a cut in pay, and I don't even know where they got the $600 number from, because absolutely ridiculous. Go ahead, John.
And really not on, I expected this from Mitch McConnell because he said it, but what in the world are these electors thinking? If you're really coming to the table with $600, the $300 a week is going to help families on top of the what they were getting. And, shout out to the Minnesota Senate and Congress. They did get their butts in there. They did vote for it. And Tim Walz did sign it, which would be the added $300. And I hope for those who are suffering right now, that comes this week, this next Tuesday, before Christmas. There's a lot of people that got holidays and stuff going on, and they are absolutely suffering. We're seeing the long lines at the shelter. We're seeing the long lines at all over. The businesses are closing, whether, is it stopping infection? And that's another thing we got to talk about. Alibi restaurant and bar out in Lakeville.
Yeah.
She stood up. You know, I got more in depth on the information about the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out that the other owner was in a shootout with police, so that doesn't fit the narrative for the conservatives. But I think that for her, she's actually pushing Tim Walz and Keith Ellison to something I don't think they're ready to do. And the reason why I say that is because, yeah, he served her. She went 2 days in a row. I heard they stayed open till almost like 2 o'clock in the morning, just a straight up great time. Liquor flowing, free shots, made big bucks. Not mad at her. Just because I know the survival rate with COVID-19. But what happens to her in the business community? There's not really a big bailout for businesses. So you're going to start seeing patriot, conservatives, people who are ready to fight for their freedoms, stand up and do more than they have, definitely for more than George Floyd.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. Because it's attacking their pocket. So we're going to start seeing a ramp up in, and I'm going on the record now, we're going to start seeing ramp up of domestic terrorism acts,
yes,
to radical right racism. We're going to start seeing people who are in poverty stricken. So, you know, when we're in the hood, we talk about the hood. Why are there shootings and stuff like that? That's called poverty.
Yes.
Okay. And now poverty is now etching its way out to communities that are not used to being oppressed a little bit. And so what happens is when they feel this little pressure, mom and dad are fighting every single day. They're arguing about money. You're not going on trips. You're not getting the presents. Now, after these holidays, it's going to be absolutely horrible for families. After these holidays, we're going to see an uptick in domestic violence, violence altogether in these communities, white communities. It's going to be in white communities. Remember, black community has been in a recession, depression, for 400 years, and we're used to the struggle. But what does it look like moving forward for our society?
You're absolutely right. And we know from experience, generational history and experience here in the Twin Cities, when poverty starts to creep out into the suburbs, there are immediate actions. It's just like the opioid addiction. You know, I remember growing up in South Minneapolis on 37th and Portland, and there was a corner gas station on 38th and Portland. That was my first job at like 12, because that was the type of gas station where you went out and you pumped the gas for the people and you wiped their window,
right,
and they gave you a tip. So the owner, private black owner, says you can have all the tips. I made like $75 a day because I was brown-nosing my ass off. But even then, you had heroin addicts, you know, around the neighborhood, be dozing off in the parking lot of the gas station, and nothing was done about it for years. Now it crept out to the suburbs. And those parents, those families, no, this has to stop. And then all of a sudden in the 2000s, you have this concentrated effort to deal with the opioid epidemic. But before, as long as black people and Native Americans was dying in the hundreds, it wasn't a problem. So, yeah, this thing is going to be very interesting because people in the suburbs have voices. They have congressional representatives. They have city councils that actually listen to them and actually do the work. They're not treated as celebrities. Whereas you come in town, I've seen people talk with Ilhan Omar. I've seen people talk with Billy McCulloch. And they don't have anything to say other than, can I take a selfie for Facebook?
Right. Right, and right, and that's, you know, Ilhan Omar, I sit up there and I was watching some of them, and, you know, where this is off on a tangent real quick, we'll bring it back into the suburbs and oppression and privilege, and really what it is the privileges that they feel like they're entitled to or how they feel in our society will allow them to push the envelope a little more,
yes,
on the representatives, on the society. It makes others act. We've been hooting and hollering as black folks culturally for so long. it seems like everybody's turning their head. We're hooting and hollering at the wrong individuals. And so, you know, for example, you know, Representative John Thompson, he's in.
Yeah.
So we were talking the other day ago, you know, and we talk regularly, and he sent me the Minnesota Constitution. Uh-oh, guy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good read.
October 13th, the second week of October the 13th in 1857.
Mm-hmm.
They were in a different mind frame than they are right now, 2020, December. So as I would say, revise it and go through it, I've seen many things that they're not talking about in Minnesota. And so as the Minnesota Constitution 2020, I will be having the Minnesota Constitution with me, walking around, just destroying them with it. And I want people to know we have a Minneapolis Constitution and also a St. Paul Constitution.
Yes.
And so we need
city
to know.
Constitution?
Yes, both
city
both cities.
Yeah. And so this is vital on the, and it's different than the federal. Federal trumps, but when you're in the state of Minnesota, you're going to be able to get a little more sway right off the bat because it's the Minnesota Constitution. I'm going through it, and me and John Thompson, we're talking, and we're going, and there's going to be a revision of the Minnesota Constitution messing with me because I'm going to go line by line like I did the other night ago, and we're going to change it. And to keep the good stuff, but take out the bad stuff, just like they did in the Bible, but the other way around. And so when we're facing this 2020-21 is going to be a very crazy year, and I don't know if we talked about this, Don, as much as we should, but as we're approaching the new year, we know that George Floyd, the officers are demanding that the date be pushed back. We know that he has the court date, supposedly it's going to be on March 8th. Okay, Rondo, you know, the police morale in Minneapolis is so low. You know, this car, two nights ago, me and my wife were driving.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to the gas station right off of the SA, right off of Louisiana, 394.
I know exactly where that is, yep.
Yeah, right there by that, I think it's Menards Menards. And so we're driving, and all of a sudden we see this car take off from these two state patrols. So I said, you know what, honey, let me see what's going to go on. So we're hitting the turns, and my wife is, go that way. So they go downtown, so they got literally 50 cop cars, right? I said, oh, here we go. So I thought they were going to shoot the brother. I was like, dang, let me see what's going on. So we hop off. They hop off on 94 West. They're flying down 94 West. They get off on where the honeybee is, off on the Broadway exit.
Yeah, I know
94 West. Hop off there. Take the left down Washington. Flying down Washington. They're going all the way down. They're just running through the lights. They go over Broadway. We're all going over Broadway because I'm in the minivan flying too, you guys. I was so pissed, though, because I'm kicked off of Facebook right now, and so I couldn't go live. You know I would have been live.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, darn it, I'm the screen. I'm saying, dang it, they did this to me again. So I'm flying down. The cop does a pit maneuver. Okay. Now, there's a couple things I had concerning with it. The amount of cops that were on it, it looked like this was more cops than they would have for a terrorist attack. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, in heaven. Why don't you guys show up like this for George Floyd? But that's another thing. So we're flying down. They do a pit. The car is just slams into the post off of Dolly or off of Laurie in Washington, and right at that Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all sitting there. The kid comes up. They don't even throw the kid in handcuffs because they thought they killed him. And he came on, he was just sitting there, and I was, and then I pulled in Burger King, and I was just sitting there to see what they were doing. And the cops were, their demeanor was very afraid, right? But what I realized, a lot of them were just like this. Oh, man, this is like our 10th stolen car today. Oh, we don't care about their morale. Their mentality was like, they weren't really on for fight for justice. They just wanted to have a good old time. And so what I'm seeing approach for 2021, with Rondo and the defunding of the police and stuff like that, we're going to see crime next year uptake to a level this summer that none of us are prepared for. St. Paul didn't even do it. You know, they just had a shooting in St. Paul, random.
Yeah, random, right down the street. Right down the street.
So it's happened all over.
Yeah, right at University. It's really strange here because we live two blocks from Hamline University, and it's a pretty calm neighborhood, pretty peaceful neighborhood. We're one of the few black families in this particular area right here, and you don't hear anything. But I remember at hearing the sirens and stuff. I'm asking my wife, I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And the next morning, you know, there's a neighborhood that's one block, I want to say north of University in Snelling, heading toward downtown St. Paul. And sometimes if you don't want to turn down University, you pick, I can't remember the street, you turn that, take that left, and you kind of get a shortcut down to Hamline Avenue or to Pascal Street to go over to Cub Foods or to Target. And
right,
that area is dripping in drug dealing, prostitution, open air drug use, and things happen over there on a regular basis. And it didn't shock me that someone would get shot because there's a lot of stuff going on besides the people standing on corners with signs needing money. And like I always, if I have $5 or some loose change, I make sure I wind down my window and help them out, you know, if they're out
there.
Did
they find the individual who shot that
guy? No, not as yet. Not as yet. There's tons of surveillance cameras in that area on because it's right next to a light rail stop. And I would hope that the BCA and other folks are reviewing that footage because it's very dangerous when you're driving, you have kids in the car, especially my wife doesn't go out at night. And night is earlier because of daylight savings time now. And
right,
so we're
right,
talking
right.
about 5:30, everybody's
yeah.
in the house basically. But that area has been known for a lot of weird crime things, college students, you know, out trying to buy pot. And they run into a brother and they ask him, hey, can I get a bag? He says, yeah, follow me. They take them around the corner and take their wallets and
exactly.
and their money.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
and so, I mean, what are you going to do? And that takes a different level of engagement. Also, the park on Hamline, and I'm talking about St. Paul now, on Hamline and Thomas there. I question why we still have people living in tents. Families.
Did they tear down the encampment yesterday?
In
this weather, I thought that they were. I thought they were dispersing a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean they might be, but the tents. I think I surely were there yesterday when I drove by, and I don't know if people are in them today or last night. But the day that I heard people snoring. I mean, people literally have their household out in the next to the fence, next to a tent, kitchen tables, pots and pans, clothes and baskets. And that's no way.
That's just representative of the city politics that we're dealing with in these cities in St. Paul. I was just over in Harrison over by, you know, where Harrison Public Education Center, where, you know, you're going down Glenwood towards downtown and 394 is maybe about 2-3 blocks to the right of you, and in that path, that by almost like a frontage road going towards like Dunwoody and that side, the tents have set up all along back there too as well.
So
and I'm wondering, what are the next steps for? Obviously, homelessness is going to in 2021 is going to be off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to be like? What is it going to look like? And what are our elected officials going to do due to the uprising in homelessness?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, this year in 2020, we've seen an uptick in shootings, especially shootings of black females and murders of black females, which is we haven't seen that in the last 10 years. And it's very interesting, Jonathan, as you speak on this, I think that the Minneapolis City Council and those in St. Paul that were pandering during the George the unrest because of the George Floyd murder have heard defund the police. And I think the police have had an attitude where, okay, you want to defund us? You know, we're going to let them sell dope on the corner. We're not even going to deal with those kind of crimes. And we'll just, you know, overlook a lot of stuff. And community members, all it takes for a teenager, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 and above, to hear that someone said defund the police and the lawlessness starts to happen. And people don't want to talk about black-on-black crime. It's a thing that happens. You know, we have we usually kill people in our neighborhoods, kill people that look like us. I mean, Chicago, Miami, Detroit, Denver, Seattle, all across the United States, New York. I mean, we're not news because that leads headlines. You know, if it bleeds,
right.
if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
And
it does, but we've got to, well, not to cut you off.
No, don't. Go ahead.
You know, we have a ticking time bomb right here. And see, this thing's ticking for the January 6th, but what it's going to really tick toward is the March trial of George Floyd. And so I've been watching this, and I've seen where at first they were going to televise this trial. First it was going to be a televised trial. Now they're hedging. Now they're backing off of that. And I think that COVID, it depends on where COVID is at that time, if they're going to actually televise that trial. And that's what's really going to be the big blowout, I think. When they, if they televise that trial so that the world sees it, I think it's potential for all hell to break loose.
So let me ask you a question.
Do you think,
and Jonathan, let me ask both of you, do you think that this trial should be televised or it will just create more problems?
I think personally, this is me, my opinion. I do believe that it should be, just so we can see the process and processes of the system. I'm going to tell you now, early on our black news, breaking news, the star witness, they've already put it in order. The star witness is going to be the Andrew Baker, Hennepin County Medical Examiner, and he's already just said that for a fact,
yes,
George Floyd did not get killed by Derek Chauvin or the other officers. He OD'd on fentanyl. And when they say that, I know the temperature of not only Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, but the entire United States is going to go to a level that we haven't seen since the Watts Riots, Rodney King,
right.
the '60s, and
right.
it's going to be deadly because it's going to coincide with the mask mandates. It's going to coincide with businesses crumbling. It's going to coincide with homelessness. It's going to coincide with all of these variable things that make it conducive for a war to go on.
Yes. Yeah, and that said, we have a lot of people across the board who are not filled in or informed of what's happening. And they don't really understand that this level of militia organization and just the thing behind George Floyd's death, and the continuation of black men, Asian men, even white men being brutalized by law enforcement. But the defunding message should not be the message from our city council.
And that was Don, that was the sloganeering. I think we talked about that a couple different times. Sloganeering,
mm-hmm.
defund the police. No justice, no peace. At the end of the day, you know, let's get to work.
Yeah.
And I think the sloganeering part helped. I'm just talking systematically. There's no other police departments that are going to do this. Minneapolis is the only one who did it. And the tie vote with Andrea Jenkins. Remember, I don't know if you see what she was saying. But she was the last vote saying she had to go with it. So, you know, Jacob Fry, remember when they went to his house this year?
Yeah, I remember that. Reclaim
the Block? I think it was Reclaim the Block or one of them, and they put the microphone in his hand and said, are you defund the police or abolish the police? And they came outside his house and he said, no, I won't. And then they booed him and he made him walk them back in there. And they end up winning. So the police are – Jacob Fry is, you know, pandering as well, but he's fell on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to stop. What's his name?
That was my buddy Hamill. He said, someone needs to cut off Donner ties, my brother. He's laughing.
Okay. Well, sorry. Don is doing wonderful. But no, back to what I was saying is the sloganeering has put us in a spot where it's more for the melting pot. It's more for the gumbo pot of the environment that's approaching us for the George Floyd. The police are going to say, oh, defund us, F the police. There's going to be protest after protest. I'm probably going to be leading 10 of them. but I know that for sure that we're going to be all throughout the city. If they come and say George Floyd wasn't killed by Derek Chauvin sucking the air out of his neck, I'm telling you, and the trial lasts a month and a half. That brings us into April, May.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be another rerun of last summer, but 10 times worse.
Yeah, exactly.
The key is if it's going to be televised. That's the real key, because that goes around the world. Well, they seem to be waffling on it. They want to change the date. They're doing all kinds of gyrations where they want to change the date of the trials. They don't want them all to be tried together. They're trying all the gyrations. And I actually saw a gentleman, I think it was Jonathan, at the government center that actually asked the attorney, Earl Gray, what about the knee on the neck? Or as he turned around, looked like he was going
to
try to do something. And
he
found
wanted
to still
punch
right
me.
There.
He wanted
he turned,
to punch me.
He turned around and he walked him all the way to the elevator. What about the knee on the neck? Oh, he has no response to it, because everybody has seen that. And if that is this is going to be bigger than the OJ. This is going to be around the world. Come on.
But
I'm telling you, the climate and within, if they get 3 or 4, I wouldn't say conservative, I would say just radical individuals who are racist, and they say 3 of them, only 3 or 4 of them who say, I'm just not going to go against Andrew Baker, the medical examiner, why would they lie about it? They are telling me now. I test the temperature. I wrote on a storyline. And it was very unfortunate. There was another police. It was a police shooting. A guy actually shot the police, right? That was over at Crystal, Brooklyn Center. And it was another manhunt, right? And that was, I'm right down. I'm probably 2, 3, 4 miles away from there. So the city, the police increased in the area. I said, oh, what's going on? Well, I put on the storyline. I said, how did this guy stay alive and George Floyd did? That's all I did. I just said the question up. That's how you test the temperature. He goes, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Did you say that? And they were upset, and they kept on saying one continuous thread, and that was George Floyd died of an overdose of fentanyl. He did not die from the officer's knee on his neck. And it just one after hundreds and hundreds of life were saying, and I said, wow. They truly believe George died.
And so here's what I want to say.
From an overdose.
Yeah. Here's what I want to say, Jonathan and Anthony. If there is the slight chance that this is fact, because right now we're working in speculation, because, I mean, I don't have a law degree. Y'all might. But I'm looking at this. But if there is a slight chance that this was the case, if the medical examiner on behalf of the defense can come through and say that this guy was doomed to die with any interaction with the police, in spite of Chauvin putting his knee on his neck, all 4 of those police will walk, but there'll be a civil trial, just like what happened with OJ. OJ, if it don't,
hey, I'm so tired of these damn civil trials. We're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Clean up. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. And so the thing is, if what kind of bothers me in a way that I don't think George Floyd should have never, ever died, but he did, and it was, involving interaction with the police. So in that case, then what do we expect out of this trial? As far as my personal opinion, you have an officer who was his fourth day on the job. Okay.
Two of them.
Yeah. And so are they penalized from following orders from Chauvin, who's the veteran on the force? Is that a fair assumption to charge these guys with murder?
If they pass through the post a lot, if it took 17-year-olds that they claimed were hood, the kids were telling them, get off of his neck, firefighters, get off of his neck, come on. And now we've done, because, you know, I've done the investigation work, Don.
Mm-hmm.
I found out, I was the one who found out, you know, where Chauvin lived. I was the one who found out who, when he worked at the, remember I told you guys on my live feed, the strippers and the girls, they reached out to me and said, Tao and Derek would come into the club downtown and touch on all the girls. And the club that George Floyd worked at as a security guard, he used to tell Derek, hold on, man, chill out. And this is another thing. Derek's daughter was cool with George Floyd. So this was a very, very dynamic situation that was going on. This ain't no damn random fake $20 bill incident at Cup Foods. Cup Foods was illegal. You know, we all know how they've been moving. All the people were getting told to be crooked. The system, Cup Foods, you know, just with the opioid drug situation with George, if he was on drugs, the police brutality, and then policing as a whole. If two officers that were J. Alexander Yee and Thomas Lane were there for only 4 days on the job, they went through all the training at the Post Board over in Brooklyn Park.
Mm-hmm.
They've done all the stuff that they needed to do, and you don't know on the job to step up, then we got to just change the whole damn system.
Yeah, we do.
And that's what we have to do. We have to be the trainers. Why do you think it's appropriate that you sat on that man's neck for 10 minutes? And what is your justification if you went to court for it? And if they give you a justification in a law that is right, then it's time to take that away.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just have to look back at this, that whole George Floyd thing. I mean, not to dwell on it forever, but a $20 bill, a supposed fake $20 bill is going to have a police call of four policemen to try to subdue this man. He ends up dead behind a fake $20 bill. These police come in, and they escalated this situation. This was just a root. And why Cub Foods would call the police for a $20 bill with all this that they do in that store, why they would call the police for that, that whole scenario is just so whack and out of so disjointed that the police would come, kill this man, and sit there in front of a crowd and just nonchalantly leave his knee on the neck when they could have just said, Cup just could have said, I'm not taking this $20 bill. Okay, I don't want it. Or they could have just took it and did something with it and handed it in later.
Yeah,
this
But also the reports are coming back from sources that the $20 bill was not fake.
It was real.
Exactly
real.
And so with that said, you know, what was Cup Foods? And we got to really look into Cup Foods. And I know my old co-host on the iHeartRadio show, Black Republican, Black Democrat, Jamar Nelson, was a spokesperson on CNN.
What happened with me and Jamar?
Yeah.
Me and Jamar over north when the three kids got killed, when I pulled up on, on Jamil and them, because, you know, they were all out there. I didn't know they was out there. I was just going to, you know, I'm reporting live on the north side. I went over there to go see what's up with the kids, and I see Jamar. And I said, what's up, Jamar? And he going to tell me, oh, we were doing good until you came over here. And then I've turned the heat up. I said, oh, that's how you feel. Well, ain't you the spokesman for the Cub Foods? Yeah, I am, and I'm getting paid by it. And I'm saying, this is the type of behavior that's working on in our
system right now.
It's a sellout trick.
And you know what? If that's the case, if you're getting paid by Cub Foods, then why are you asking a congressional candidate to pay your phone bill, borrow money to pay your phone bill? Okay, so don't let me go down that path, because I'm telling
the
truth.
Go down
yeah, because I know too much.
Jamar,
And so with that said, Cup Foods on that corner for years. Let me give you some history real quick.
Yeah.
In the 70s, that was Wilhelm's Pharmacy. Wilhelm's Pharmacy. And that's where you get your prescriptions. That they had the best candy. Before you walk, we walked to Bancroft in 1974 and 75. You stopped there, you loaded up on your candy. You know, because if you had $2, you can buy enough candy for 3 days. Not like 2020.
Wow.
A Snicker bar cost you $1.79, which is ridiculous. But the thing is, when Cup Foods took that over, it was after they closed down Minneapolis Central and that neighborhood went to crap over there. And that store has found a way to dabble in every economic stream from, and I'm not slandering or defaming them, but I actually watched the drug deal behind the store with someone that worked there.
Mm.
You know, and I'm
people doing that behind, after the investigation, people have been screaming. They had kids egging old black ladies that were standing out in front of the store protesting in front of them. They were getting egged. I got the ladies. I've done the interviews. Miss Ho, and I forgot her name. Sweet lady. She said, Macy, could you just please go tell everybody my story about how Cup Foods was getting people to egg me? And I said, what? They were egging you?
Yeah.
And she said, and so this is the reality that we're dealing with. We're in the epicenter of all the storm right now. And and we're actually, you know, obviously, you know, broadcasting on it and stuff like that. But what does it look like when it's when we're in the middle of it? What does it look like for Minneapolis? You know, there's a dollar store going down in the downtown now. We downgraded. Minneapolis is downgraded. Uptown, it's 50% of the people moved out of Uptown.
Yeah, and Uptown is a lot different than many years ago when it was, you know, with Williams Pub, Filio's, and all those places to go hang out and actually enjoy yourself without the fear of being gunned down or without the fear of someone robbing you.
And I hate to tell you, but Uptown was known as the white area.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, right there, Calhoun Square.
Well, you would say, man, yeah, that's where you go to the white area. If you don't want to go downtown, you'd be like, man, let's go to the white area. And that's right where up there. You know, you go to where Bar Louie is, but, you know, when they used to have the old drink there and fired all that. And, so.
There's some.
But, and now they had many drive-bys. It's drive-bys. People get shot, robbed, you know. And this is happening day in and day out, and the snow hasn't came, so the violence has continued. But I'm really afraid for what it's going to look like when they say George Floyd, the officers are acquitted. Derek, you're going back to work. Minneapolis Police Department Minneapolis Police Department says, you know what? We can't fire him. Rondo accepts him. Oh, Rondo's going to hear a lot from me if that's the case.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that now.
Well, I think that two of the officers will definitely get their jobs back or be hired somewhere else because of their short tenure with the police department. And even if they don't, you still have to deal with that historical and generational mindset of law enforcement across the city without defunding them. Because I don't want – what happens is human nature moves on. If a group goes down, another group rises. So if the police go away, what is the group that replaces the police? I don't want folks telling me, hey, you know, I'm the law now. You're going to have to do this and that. I don't want to become a police state by
citizens. And right. You're absolutely right. And I don't think it's going to be a whole bunch of groups of people with different color shirts. I think it's going to be – a police station that or a police force that has oversight, obviously community independent oversight. But when a situation comes, I'm not talking about we need oversight on every traffic stop, which we should be able to pull up live and see traffic stops as individuals like the police scan and stuff like that. But I think that there has to be an entity. That is around the community that are the ones doing the oversight for the police.
Yeah, and I agree. You know,
they've already started. they've already started some of their defund mechanism where they have actually assigned some social workers in different counties to supposedly screen or handle some of the 911 calls. They actually have a few people doing that. I mean, and I can see that being part of a mix for something that they know is a clear-cut mental health type or social work type of deal. But you're not going to send in these, most of the social workers I know, I mean, and I was a supervisor there for 20-some years, you have a lot of young white women. And we're not going to sit them in a situation that has any danger, or they're not going to even go there.
No.
So they have, it has not been thought out enough. You can't just say we're going to send social workers. And if, to me, they've already
You send these liberal white women to the schools or the front lines with our youth on the police calls. This is just kidding. When do black men get the chance to leave?
Badness. Mr. Hamill is asking, Anthony, do you agree with everything that we're saying here? And I would invite anybody that wants to challenge us, have a question or anything, to call in on the Blog Talk Radio line. It's 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. We're currently broadcasting live on Facebook, Twitter, via Periscope, and right here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, and we invite you to call in and ask some questions, challenge us. And our mindset, well, I'm going to speak for myself because Anthony and Jonathan can speak for themselves, but I think that something bad, just crazy, is going to happen with this George Floyd trial, and I don't know why they waited so long. And with Chauvin out of town, living safe, eating three meals a day, you know, in his house, and with these others, local Lane and the other guy just kind of here in town doing things, being harassed when they shop, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what comes out of this. I am not for the killing. I am not for the defunding. What I am for is some retraining. We have a lot of good black psychoanalysts, psychologists, social workers that can collaborate with the police. But then again, it's a black problem, you know, and people in our community, especially the poverty pimps and the marching reverends, you know, they're going to want some payback to address this. You know, they want to see the upheaval. And they, like, remember Jonathan, when that kid took his own life in the doorway downtown Minneapolis? And you were down there? You were down there live, and I was watching that whole thing. And this little girl says, the police shot him. The police did not shoot him.
She sat up there and lied, didn't she?
Yeah, she lied. But the city of Minneapolis called all these people down, like Nakima Levy Armstrong, all these people that, black people, they're going crazy. You guys have to get down here.
That's the first time they called us for some, right? And they called to tell these people, they sent them the video. This is the craziest thing also. You know, when I came down there and I found out that it wasn't suicide, we were telling it. But then it got out of control, and a lot of people don't know this because of the police response to some people. I actually got made for no reason, and they just lost control. But it was, like you said, there was too many different intricate pieces trying to be the leader. It was the groups of individuals that came down that had the video that was sent by Rondo. Then there was the police officers that were like, he killed himself. They were keeping it real. There are some police officers not saying nothing.
Yeah.
So it just created a environment of just a whole bunch of malarkey and a whole bunch of people just all over trying to follow the leader. And really what it was a lack of leadership. So this is another thing. Rondo, he doesn't see the overplay for the underplay, because what's about to happen to him is he's about to be the scapegoat, and after this next round, they're gonna fire him. Oh, and Bob Crow ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
and he's the union president. Remember that. He's running the show.
Yeah,
he's retiring.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that he was retiring? He put some announcement out or something in March.
Well,
it's funny that he said he's going to retire in March. I don't know if it's significant. And Bob Kroll, I thought that's what he said.
No,
he's not going nowhere. He's not going nowhere. Hey,
Bob Kroll's going until he's 90 years old. He's not giving it up.
Yes, he is. And we have a caller. Caller, you are live on Our Black News. What's your name and your question? Go ahead, please.
So my name is Hamill, and
hey, Hamill.
I want to tell you, Don, this is a great program. And Mason, you got fire in you, and my comment based on while I was on hold would be that, you know, Rondo is a good dude. And I think you are right. And I think Jacob Fry is I think he's not as bad as the left thinks he is. And I think that Bob Kroll thrown under the bus. And we have a city council election coming up in 11 months. And I think people might twist on a lot of people. But my mainly I'm saying a compliment to Don Allen, because this is a well-produced program, and I love what you guys are doing. So,
well, I appreciate it. And I just want to tell these guys, whenever we get this thing rolling, Jonathan and Anthony, the guy that I'm calling to produce and film all this is this guy on the phone right now, Hamill.
Oh, wonderful.
Because
wonderful.
He's like, he's top of line. All we got to do is buy all the equipment and he'll run it. So, and produce it and take full credit. And we want him to do that.
That's
he's
right.
Been back up a long time.
we put a pitch deck together. We go get some funding. And we'll be in KSTP in no time. Trust me, with our own little studio location.
I'll be the white devil pulling the strings behind the scenes.
hey, look, it's okay.
We got to do what we got to do, because 2021, we're not asking nobody for anything. Okay, we're doing what we need to do to survive. Hey, Hamill, thanks for the call, and I'll be getting in touch with you early mid January. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
But like he said, though, he did touch on some things. You know, as you know, Rondo, none of these people I have a personal issue. Maybe Jamar I don't like that much. But the other individuals, I just don't like him because he's all over the place. But Rondo, you know, I met with Rondo. We had a meeting, me and Michelle Gross. You know, I sat down in a couple meetings with him. And you know, got love for Art Knight, and you know, Bob Crow I ain't a fan of, but we have to really think what's actually going to play out, because they're not going to play fair. They're not going to play fair. They're just not going to play fair after the George Floyd trial. You remember Jacob Fry was at the funeral for George Floyd. Jacob Fry was on his knees crying. Governor Tim Walz was on his knees crying, that the buck couldn't stop with them, so they gave it to the black guy, Keith Ellison. He was on the news talking about, oh, this is not a slam dunk case, it's going to be hard. I'm just sitting here like, are you guys this silly and lost? Are you for real? We got to videotape Darnella. Shout out to Darnella Frazier, mm-hmm. the young girl. She won the Spike Lee award, mm-hmm. Filming award, for being able to stomach what she was watching with Derek Chauvin sitting on George Floyd's neck, sucking the air out of him while he's begging for his mother, mm-hmm. in handcuffs. And so when we're sitting here thinking, okay, if George don't get it, the city's going to keep protesting. Jacob Fry will be here. Election time comes. Does Don Allen run? Anthony Scott run? Does the Jonathan Mason throw his hat in just to make the race go? You know, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Because it's time for us to be able to take the charge, because clearly we know what's going on, and many of these individuals don't within our society.
Exactly. You got people that are running these. And you know what? We've been, like we said last show, we've been repeating stuff here for the last 60 years. There's been stuff happening to us that has been consistently going on, consistently. Oh, that's a new look, Jonathan. You're kind of sideways there. Has been consistently going on, and we keep talking about it, and there's really no change. And if something happens, to black Minnesotans, and we don't have the people to go in and adjust and fix, from education to economic development to economic stimulus, which by jobs, I don't mean giving away anything free, but I mean making sure that people have what they need. That's why I'm so pissed off at the Congress and the Senate of the United States, because every other country is helping augmenting the income for their people so they can stay shut down. Like New Zealand, zero COVID-19, zero.
The prime minister shut the damn border up.
Yeah,
she wasn't playing.
Yeah, she shut everything down. She said, everybody, don't worry. We're going to take care of you every month until we get this thing under control. They were still getting, the kids were getting an education. The parents didn't lose any wages. And she made sure the businesses were strong. Granted, New Zealand is not a really huge place, but they had
blaming Mitch McConnell on that one. That's it. I'm really blaming Mitch McConnell. His slow ass was taking his time talking about not till January. They put a Heroes Act. I'm not slow. Mm-hmm. They put a Heroes Act on the table. And whether you like Nancy Pelosi and them, they had Republicans were saying $250, $300 per person. They were mad about the damn $600. Denver.
Yeah.
If people don't have no food on their table and they can't get down to the welfare office, they stealing some shit tonight. I'm sorry for my language, but they're going to steal some. That they have to commit a crime.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
See, you got these holidays coming up, and holidays is a time where we're supposed to be kind of relaxing, and no one can relax right now. No one can relax. And we're looking at the government taking their time. They haven't even really decided on the little payment to help us move along. You know, they haven't decided yet. And so they're waiting while they get their checks every 2 weeks, while they get their benefits every 2 weeks. There are millions and millions, some of those 70 million plus that voted for Biden and Harris and these other folks. And they're not doing a damn thing. I remember Kamala Harris saying, I think that people in the United States should get a check every month. She has not even whispered that again. She has not said that since they were kind of sideways certified. So how can we negotiate? Like Tim Walz has not looked out for any individuals in the state of Minnesota. And they have money. They have $51 million sitting in the Department of Health and Human Services account from COVID-19 relief that I could see a $600 check for everybody in Minnesota coming out of this fund from the state, and then whatever the feds give us, it might be something, but all of the things end, the benefits end December 31st. There's going to be mass evictions. Everybody's, the inauguration. It's going to be so beautiful. They're setting it up right now, and they're spending millions on it. Millions on the inauguration.
Right. And what they need to do in Minnesota, and this is the thing that we're going to, and I'm trying to do right now, is how do we get the money to the people without just giving it to them, right? And they have all these programs, but they don't have they have all these hoops you got to jump in. For example, they have a thing going on in Hennepin County right now. If you have rent, your rent is old, they can talk to your landlord. You can get your 3-4 months paid up in full up to like $5,800, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about it. And if they do, they have to do so many hoops that we have to expedite the processes in our society so we can be able to get the money from government to our people. And that's what they want to do anyways, but they're making it so hard. It's like a multiple choice question with the word, and then they switch the letter on each word. Like, come on, you guys, let's just give it to the people and let's figure it out, because people are suffering.
Yeah.
You think the encampment's bad now? You go down there and you ask some of these people, why are you down here? Oh, man, I lost my job, COVID, my family. I ain't got nobody up here, so I'm just out here chilling with the people right now.
Yeah.
Are you for real? Yeah, bro. And I ain't going to no shelter, so I'm just might as well get a tent and just, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's what's going on.
Yeah, and it's really terrible because you have a lot of the middle class, and it's you have the people that are really up and the people that are on the bottom, and then the middle is starting to flake off into the bottom now. And especially in Minnesota with these weather, these seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, and it's extremely cold. We have not seen the level of unrest. You talk about the George Floyd trial in March. Let December 31st hit. Let all these benefits and these protections drop and watch what happens. Yeah. They will burn St. Paul and Minneapolis down again because
it's going to be really bad.
The politicians are not listening. And another thing, I need to get this in, and I'm not even looking at the clock right now, but the COVID-19, the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Health decided to get some Negroes that they were comfortable with and give them a few thousand dollars that you see on Facebook on a regular basis. Broadcasting from home and broadcast, this is Minnesota, this. It's so BS. But they paid these people, so these people are beholden to the state of Minnesota to distribute information about COVID-19, whereas this is a professional news program on every Saturday for the last 11 years. They won't even look this direction because we're not Democrats. We're not liberal. Or if we are, we're in the center. We're this, we're that. And it's too confusing for them. But yet they'll lose out on an audience, a national audience that's huge, in favor of doing half. With that said, since the money has went out, black Minnesotans are more like, well, let me just put it like this. In my zip code, 55104, the COVID rate is 43%. Last time I looked, the COVID rate for black folks is 41% in the same zip code, which means that we're exponentially, we are catching COVID and a lot of folks are dying. And again, COVID-19 has shown this disparity in the black community. It's just like women from Somalia. Yeah, when they get here in the United States, all they have to do is live here for 10 years. And they have the same disparities as black females, you know? And they're from a whole different country. So if you come in, you're black, this is what you are, this is where you're going to sit, this is the trajectory that's going to happen to you because we haven't figured out how to get a voice. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in January, the next 2021 legislative session, but I know that we're all going to have to be in there. We're all going to be having to talk to the Republicans and the Democrats. The black elected,
I'll be in there. I'm going to be in there.
The black elected officials.
Yeah, we need to flip this city council here in Minneapolis. And I don't know that much about St. Paul, but I know the Minneapolis City Council and the politicians in general running the city. Well, this is where we're at. They don't know how to lobby for our city. I mean, why isn't the 38th? I think Cubs Food is back open now, isn't it? I think on 38th in Chicago,
It's open. You're absolutely right. It is open.
Yeah, I think it's back open. Well, why can't there be some development in the South Minneapolis area where all this happened? Why are they going? How can the Somalis get $40 million to rebuild an area right west of Lake Street on Lake Street?
Yes.
$40 million, and this is city money. Why are we looking at our residents, our legacy residents that have been here in 38th? And that corridor could be revitalized and redone and made into a really nice corridor in South Minneapolis. But there's no talk of that. The street's closed. There's no timetable for opening it. There's no plan. And Cup Foods sits there, and all the other businesses are closed.
Because the north side, they're trying to say that the Upper Harbor Terminal is our north side project.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Ain't Bill English on that?
You know what? Bill English is a go-to guy in North Minneapolis. I'm not going to say anything bad about him because it was really funny. Last year in J.D. Hoyt's, Mr. Ron Edwards and I were sitting at the bar, and Mr. Edwards always liked crab cakes and their chicken wings and some pork chops and steak. So I make it a point. We'd meet down there on a Friday, payday, because Mr. Edwards will go deep in your wallet. And we had some food, a couple of beers. And here comes Bill English and Leah Haggard from the Twin Cities something or another she works with. So Mr. Edwards said, let me see your phone. So Mr. Edwards reached over and took a picture of them sitting at the bar and sent it to Bill English's wife. And
oh, he's out of pocket. Ron wasn't no joke.
No, he wasn't. And then the bad thing is he sent the picture to his wife on my Facebook account because she's my friend on Facebook. And so I was at this
event. That's low down.
So I was at this event last year and Bill English walked up on me and says, why are you sending that picture? Like, he was going to fight me. Now, Bill English has been in fights with Congressman at the time, Keith Ellison, Al Flowers. Al Flowers punched him so hard he rolled under a car. Okay? And don't let me get into all the – I'm telling the truth.
Hey, see, this I love this history. This real Minnesota North Side.
Yeah. And so with that said, there's some stuff that went down and stuff that happened that Bill English needs to step back and let someone else take the realm. Because we don't seem to benefit when he and a couple other people are involved. And that's just my opinion, you know.
It's time for the North Side to eat, Don, and you're really right on that. The people growing up, my millennial group, the P.J. Hills that will be running for mayors, and we're going to be I'm telling you this right now. My group of individuals, black men, I'm prepping them now, and we are coming to get the money and distribute it all through Minneapolis to St. Paul for us.
Yeah.
And it's coming. And a couple selected Negroes at the top, it ain't going to work this time. We all got to eat.
Yeah.
No more breadcrumbs.
And you said something about millennials, Jonathan. And I just like to say, do you guys know how much a millennial weighs?
I know I weigh much for 25.
No, a millennial weighs an Instagram. Okay, I'll stop. I just decided to throw that in there, be it funny or not. But yeah,
time is it, Don?
It's that time. We appreciate everybody listening to the show today. We had a good time, and you've been listening to Our Black News broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio and Twitter via Periscope and a couple other places. And we appreciate you being here. And we'd like to all wish you, from our families to your families, Merry Christmas.
Some people say we got a lot of malice. Some say it's a lot of